Hey folks, good evening. Let's see, it's the July 4th, Happy Independence Day for U.S. TeamSpeak for HPSDR. Name's Bill, KD5TFD, and not too much to report. Been sort of heads down on work. It's been going on for the, well, for last long while, I guess, so not too much radio stuff to report. Dave had been in here, KV0S, but seemed to have dropped out, so I don't know if he hit network issues or what happened, or maybe he'll be back in a little later. Let's see, I guess going down through the roll call here. Well, there's Dave, so let me pass it down to Dave there. KV0S, over to you. Uh-oh, I'm not getting any audio from you there, Dave. Man, I'm still not getting any audio there. Let me go run through the roll call and see if you get your audio sorted out on the audio input side, at least. Okay, going down the roll call, we've got Bob VE3GKM showing his recording in a way. Dave KV0S working on audio issues there. Greg ZL3IX showing his way. Let's see, going further on down. Henry PA0J blah blah HJA shown as away and recording, and Mike A8K recording and away. Thanks for posting the recordings up to TS Archive there, Mike. Thanks. And Phil VK6PH, good afternoon.
Good day, Bill. Morning. Morning, everyone. Yeah, sorry, I'm at work, so I've just got to rush in and say hi to everyone. Something I couldn't make last week. I was just about to come on and had a visitor, so sorry about that. Nothing to report, still up to my eyes with work at the moment, and unfortunately didn't get chance to subscribe to the Friedrich Sarven SDR program and haven't found the videos yet, so absolutely hectic. but all well, and enjoying enjoying work and enjoying a little bit of a fairly fine weather. In fact, we had the hottest June on record, so climate change is certainly affecting everyone. That's all the news I have. Back to you, Bill.
Oh, okay. Well, good to hear you, and I guess there are better alternatives than being busy, so good luck with that. And toast the... I guess it's supposed to be getting cooler for you, so here we're actually getting into the meat of summer here, and actually seems seasonally appropriate at the moment. So, let's see. Looks like Dave turned the thing on again, so let's see if Dave's got any audio now.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, Lordy, can we?
I turned the volume up a little bit.
Yeah, it's quite hot now.
Is that a little better?
You might come down even a little more.
How's that?
That's pretty good.
Okay, well, I had some updates in my computer, and I had to reinstall TeamSpeak. And because of the Zooming these days, I have a camera as well, and the camera takes over my sound system, and because it has a mic in the camera. And so that makes it confusing to get the thing set up right. But this week I've been working on a couple of things, but not too much particularly. I did attend at least the afternoons of the SDR Academy, and Shell gave a really nice talk, and Lawrence Barker gave a nice talk as well. So I can post the location for the talks down below. They're still working on breaking them into individual talks, so they aren't all there, but the beginning ones are there. There was quite a group of OpenHPSDR people there. John Melton, Lawrence Barker, Shell, me, and they were reminiscing about sitting on the deck out by the lake having steaks. And that's it for me.
Okay, good to hear. And your audio could go down a little bit more, but it's workable. And yeah, if you got the links to the talks handy, do post away. That would be helpful. I guess we're into the general chit-chat session. So, Phil, did I hear you say you were at work?
Yes. I've got a separate office in the house now.
A separate office? Oh, okay. So you're not in, you haven't got out there, you're not out at a building. So it, you didn't like build an extension on the house, or you just repurposed a room?
Yeah, I just repurposed, but I found sort of living in here was not a good idea. Work, you know, for just spending time in here when I'm actually working, and then using the shack, which I normally do, is what I've changed to do. But I've sort of got the mindset right. Okay, I'm in here, I'm at work.
No, I see. But, is that to limit the amount of work you're doing, or to limit or to keep you focused on work?
To limit.
I sort of figured that was the case.
Well, I posted the link to the videos for Software Defined Radio Academy. They've got Michelle, Edwin Riker, Lawrence Barker, and Dr. Ulrich Rode posted already, and they plan to post about one a day is their rate, anticipated rate of including.
Thank you.
I have to tell you a story about Scotty.
What's that?
Well, he was participating last weekend in the field day, and so he was tired from doing that, and he came into the office, and he had a closing on, I guess it was June 29th or so, they're selling the office, and a pipe had burst in the office, and there was water all over the floor, and so it was quite a ordeal to clean out and pick up everything, and then they had to get the insurance, and Scotty was surprised how much it cost to clean up water. But poor guy, he was worn out from 2 days of field day and then having to clean all that stuff up.
How in God's name is a pipe burst in the, when he's not in the part of the country where pipes freeze?
I don't know what happened, but the insurance said they would cover it except for the deductible.
That's terrible. Yeah, that's really bad. I had that similar one in a previous company. I was as weekend, and I thought, I'll just pop into the office just driving past it on a Sunday afternoon. And we were in like the third floor of a six-story block, and went in, and there was water all over the floor of the entrance. And there was a leak coming from the building above. So it was coming in pretty torrential rain, water. So fortunately, I just happened to be going past at the right moment and managed to get the water off and get it fixed. But otherwise, you know, by the time we got there Monday morning, the place would have been flooded.
Yeah. And so luckily, the fellow who was buying the building, this didn't dissuade him. So the things that were ruined were things he wanted to tear out anyway.
I had a coworker, this is years ago, that had a the hose to the washing machine burst, the supply hose, and it burst when he was away and came back after it running for about a week, and I made a complete mess of everything, and got me to invest in some steel jacketed hoses.
Oh, yes, those are quite important.
Talking of things like that, Bill, I woke up the other night with the alarm going off somewhere. I thought, what on earth is this? And kind of long story short, it was the fridge freezer temperature sensor that you were very kindly sent me, goodness knows, quite a few years ago now. And the freezer one was showing plus 8 degrees, and I thought, oh, this is not good. But opened up the freezer and found it was all, you know, nice and cold in there. And the sensor had packed on. I thought, well, I haven't changed the batteries in here very often, so I put new batteries in and put it back together, but it's died. So I'm going to be looking around for a new fridge freezer sensor.
Oh, really? That surprises me. Well, that's unfortunate. Well, let me know if you need me to order another one over here and send it back. I think they still make those, but yeah, I've gotten into, well, I've got water alarms now in a few places for most of the air conditioner leaking and other things leaking, and I got a buddy who's actually got a setup I like better where if his water alarms go off, it shuts off the water feed to the house.
Oh, that's a very good idea, yeah. Now, these little sensors have been great, and when the thing's mounted inside, I've got a overflow fridge back in the laundry right at the back of the house, so it's probably, I don't know, 20 meters away, 60 feet away perhaps, and it reads from there without any problem whatsoever. So and the batteries last forever, I think, you know, at least 2 years, maybe even longer. So no, very nice little technology. I did take one apart when I first got it, and yes, it's pretty simple. And I think you reverse engineered the protocol, didn't you?
No, I borrowed somebody else's code that reverse engineered the protocol.
Okay, fine, thanks.
But actually making those protocols usable to others, I mean, I think there's a bunch of people I know using RTL SDRs with the RTL 433 code to use that stuff, and I think it has sold a fair number of sensors. So if you have such a thing and you wrap it in proprietary and make it hard to reverse engineer, you're a fool.
Yeah, which what was the device they're using, Bill?
It's the SDR dongles, the RTL dongles.
Okay, yeah, I've got some of those.
Yeah, there's a search for RTL underscore 433. There's a boatload of sensors that knows what to listen for.
Okay, thanks very much.
I went through mine temp sensors today and put a new battery in. I realized it's been about a year.
Bill, have you ever come across the Rust programming language?
I have.
Oh, yeah? What do you think, though?
Well, it's a quite capable language. It's a bit unlike things that any of us have been using. But I got impressed by it. And actually, the most I've looked at it is I had been interested in this thing called Dino, which is a TypeScript compiler. And it's partially written in TypeScript and partially written in Rust.
Okay. And is Rust similar to another language you've used, one that I might know?
It's kind of a cross between Python and Fortran. And it's very efficient, but a bit obscure to learn.
Okay, thanks.
I've heard of it and heard it being pushed as a replacement for C, but haven't done anything with it. It's a mix of Python and Fortran. I'm somewhat horrified by that.
Well, it is Fortranish, but also JavaScriptish. But then it also has indention. At least the code I looked at had indention without delimiters.
I'll have to look into it, I guess. Interesting. Fortranish just sound. I mean, nothing to compare to other than Fortran.
Well, you'd probably say, "What is he talking about?" But it's a nice language. It's used by there are people who absolutely love it, and then a lot of people that find it opaque.
I keep coming back to the question of what was wrong with C.
Yeah, well, the guy that wrote this Dino thing, he started with Go first, and he picked up a lot of Go ideas, but then he switched over to Rust because essentially the inner language operability was a little better for with Rust.
Are you getting into something with Rust, Phil, or?
Yeah, one of my new hires is he's very, very competent C program, but he's actually just emailed me saying, look, you know, I could do this in Rust, and here's all the pros and cons. speed being the main one at the moment is the pro.
Yes, he's right. It's a very fast language, not a huge amount of overhead in connecting between functions and stuff. So it does have a strong suit there.
Yeah, I mean the pros are extreme focus on memory safety and code correctness, built-in test framework, and high-level syntax. Opta libraries and integrates with C when necessary, and cross from compiles to many platforms. I just never heard of it, so I'm just interested.
I mean, it's well regarded, and I have heard it as sort of a viable replacement for C. But can't say I've actually used it.
I haven't either. I learned too many languages already. I didn't need another one.
Okay, I hate it already. I have to tell it things are mutable. Blah.
Yeah, I can.
Then again, I once advocated driving cars without seatbelts. So.
One thing Rust has added, like Go, it has a built-in testing mechanism.
I'm finding those to be somewhat of a double-edged sword.
Yep, I understand.
A lot of tests seem to be, at least for my project, we've had a lot of cases where the tests turn out to be a little brittler than we'd like.
Yes, and testing web servers is a multi-dimensional issue as well.